19. Chapter 19, he come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if you can put that chapter or some of those verses up there for me. And somebody find Revelations chapter 19, where verse 16. But he comes back, he returns to the earth as King of Kings and verse 11. Let's see what verse 11 says. Okay. Well, in verse 11 tells you about the heavens open, right? I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him, notice, was called Faithful and True. This is coming back to establish the kingdom. You remember that little stone in Daniel? That he saw a stone hewn out of the mountain. Daniel chapter 2, we touch all of those. Without hands. That stone that was hewn out of the mountains without hands. And he says that he's riding a white horse. And he that sat upon him is called. Here's his name. He's called what? Faithful and True. He's a faithful and the true witness. Remember these names. And here's how he returns. In righteousness. He doeth judge and make war. That means he's going to make righteous war. And he's going to make wars that is in accordance with the law of God. He says, his eyes, notice that it's describing him, his eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. Hallelujah. You should be shouting right there. Many crowns. And he had a name written. Remember, he was known as Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he doeth judge and make wars. But here now, he has a name written. He has a name written. Help me. That no man knew but he himself. That's going to be a great mystery through eternity to find out what that name is. That nobody knows. It shows the advance knowledge of God that we will have to know. A name that no man knows, written. And he was clothed with a vesture. Dipped in blood. But remember, this is not his own blood now. This is the blood of his enemies. Because remember he said, in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. So the blood is not the blood on Calvary. That blood was shed for redemption. That blood was shed for your salvation. But this blood will be the blood of his enemies. Because when he was on Calvary, he didn't make war. He surrendered. But now he's making war. He's riding a white horse. At Calvary, he carries his cross. But now remember, he's riding a white horse and he's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name, somebody shouted, his name is called the Word of God. Now remember what John, the same John that wrote Revelation, he wrote John and says, in the beginning was the Word. That's the same word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. The same was in the beginning with God. All things was made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. But now look, he's now your King and your Lord. And that was the same word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. It says, go back there. It says 13. Where we were, 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and that's where Psalms, you're right beside your Bible, Psalms chapter 2, that you can read that later on. It says, his name is called the Word of God. What are you studying right now? And he has a name that no one knows. But here it's telling us what his name is. He just said that no one knows it. You're not listening. You didn't get that, right? Did he go up to verse 12? And he says that his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. Remember that. He has a name written, and nobody knows it. But the next verse tells us what his name is. And verse 13 says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Come on, help me right there. And his name is called the Word of God. So the only reason why you don't know the Word of God is because you're not studying and it's not explained to you. So it's a mystery. But if you are under the Word of God, you will know his name. His name is called the Word of God. Amen. Do you have the Word of God? Do you have the Word of God? You need to know it. Because by knowing it, you know what his name is. His name is called for all eternity. His name will be the Word of God. Verse 14. And the armies, look at this. What do you do with armies? U.S. military. What is it for? Defense. For fighting. Offense. Defense, offense. And the armies which were in heaven. Look at that. The armies. So right now, there are armies in heaven. And these armies are not just angels. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen. That's righteousness. White and clean. So you're going to have to keep your garments pure and white, and don't let the devil dirty that. You fall for everything. You cannot stand. Every little problem, you get under, you cave in. Somebody talk about you. Somebody saying something bad about you. Just give up and you're ready to quit church. God's looking for soldiers. And Paul said to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Fight. Hello, come on. Fight it. Don't just be weak and quit and throw your hands up. Fight. It's a good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. And look at this great king, the Word of God, out of his mouth. Out of his mouth going a sharp sword. Do you know what this sword is? It's the Word of God. And you have that sword. The psalm says, let the high praises of God be in your mouth. When you begin to praise, that's a sword. That's why the devil is pushed back once you begin to praise him. Let the high praises of God be in your mouth, and a two-edged sword. What's a two-edged sword? Hold a New Testament, the Word of God. Let it be in your mouth. Let your mouth be filled with the Word of God. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Now, smiting the nation does not necessarily mean you're going to destroy all of the nations, because he smite them in obedience, where they bow, though they rage. But yet have I set my king upon my holy mountain. And no one can stop God from setting his king, that is Jesus Christ, upon his mountain. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And you and I get to partake of this, because him that overcometh will I give power over the nation. That's what Revelation says. And we will rule with a rod of iron. That's the word. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. You see, the first time he came as a savior, the first time he came to seek and to save that which was lost. But this second time, he's coming back with vengeance, the day of vengeance. He's coming back as a consuming fire. He had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Can anybody tell me that name? Can anybody tell me that name again? Oh, what a lovely name. What a wonderful name. He's coming back as King of Kings. Shout it. And Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Is he your king? Is he your Lord? He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven. Why would he summon the fowl? For supper. But the diet that's going to make up what's on the menu, you don't want to be one of those. Amen. Amen. What do you think the fowls are going to eat? Rebellious humanity. But you don't want to be one of those. That's why you want to repent and change and serve God right now. Here's what he said. I didn't say it. Here's what the Bible said. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper. Notice, it's the supper of the great God that's made up of rebellious humanity. God has an answer for everything. You said, oh, birds, supper. You don't want to play with birds. They're robbing us, birds. If you ever watch Discovery Channel, there are birds that are terrible. Just as vicious as lions and faster. Okay, now, that ye may eat the flesh. Here's a summon from God to the birds. The angel calling them for supper. And it's called the Great Supper of God. Well, why would God do that? Because of rebellion and because mankind will not turn. He said they're going to turn. No, mankind is not going to turn. For 2,000 years, the gospel has been preached. You go outside in the street or look in the church and see what's going on. The fear of God is departing. People basically are not afraid of God. Then they don't fear God anymore. They don't bow anymore. So, but God has an answer. God knows how to change your hearts, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, small and great. You say, well, would God put that in there? Because he's going to do it. God doesn't say something. Well, oh my, how would God do? He's supposed to be a loving God. Yes, he is. But he's also a God of vengeance. He executes wrath. And remember now, at this time, that's his kingdom. That's how the kingdom began. It's a little stone, but that's how it's a terrible little stone, if I might put it that way. When you hear about a little stone, you think it's just a little stone. And gentle Jesus, meek and mild, no more. He's not the gentle Jesus that's going to die on the cross anymore. He's a warrior. Amen. He makes war. He judges. He's a mighty conqueror. And he says that, and they eat the flesh of men, both free and bond. God's no respect to a person, both small and great. Verse 19. And I saw the beast. Now, this is going into mysteries. But if you're in church, just say you're in church and you never heard about these things. All you heard is about you can get a gold watch and the promises made to you. And you can pull your promises out of the box. You know, wasn't that unfortunate? And when you pull it out, you find that you win a pair of shoes. Wasn't that unfortunate? What's so good a pair of shoes? Eh? And you're not hearing the word of God. But here's what he said. And I saw the beast. Okay, we've dealt with the beast system in Daniel. But it's not completely over, because they continued a season, times, and for a while. And the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war. Underline that now. To make war. War. So what do you do? What does God do? What does America do if somebody attacks her? Well, what does Jesus Christ do if the opposing army attack her, attack his kingdom, and do not want him to come back and reign? You think that the kingdoms, though broken, they're going to surrender? No. The Antichrist, the man of sin, the false prophet, whatever you want to call him, the beast, whatever you want to call it, he's going to marshal an army against the Son of God to overturn him and hinder him from becoming King of Kings. But God says, not so. Not so. Yet have I set my king upon my holy mountain, Zion. And they gathered, and the armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, that's the white horse, and against his army. These are not necessarily armies of angels. Some might say, they are armies of angels. I can prove it to you in Jude. Hold your fingers right here. And bring me back there, right? Yeah. Verse 20. But go to Jude. There's only one chapter. Help me. You have Jude and then Revelation, where Jude saw, behold, the Lord coming back with 10,000s, somebody find it, shout it out. Did not see death. By faith, he walked with God. And it was not because God took him. So it says in verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh, that means the seventh man from the creation of Adam. You have Adam, then you have the next one, and the Adam set and coming on. So there's seven men. Or six men lived before Enoch. But he was number seven. The seventh man, follow? The seventh man from Adam prophesied. He was a prophet. Saying, what did he say? Can you imagine how long ago that was? Saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Imagine. Everybody look at me. Enoch. The seventh from Adam prophesies about the second coming of the Lord. That's where we are right now. That little stone hewn out of the mountain is the second coming. And Enoch saw it and knew it. And he was the seventh from Adam. How important the subject, the kingdom, this lesson is. And here we are, be fair. Here we are with all of this knowledge, and we don't know. We don't know about the kingdom. We don't know of anything hardly about the second coming of the Lord. Isn't that a shame? We don't know. And Enoch was the seventh from Adam, thousands of years before the second advent would be. And he's interested, prophesying, live for it. And we who are in the very shadow of the kingdom, we don't know anything. That's a shame. What did he say? What? Why is he coming back? Why is he returning? To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You understand why he's coming back? I said, do you understand why he's coming back? To convince them, to execute judgment. And the psalm says, let the high praises of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hands. Why? To execute judgment. You can find me that scripture in Psalm. He's coming back. There's a sharp two-edged sword in your mouth to execute judgment, vengeance. This right or this, what's the word? Of all the saints. If you can find that real quick. It's to execute judgment upon all. Psalms 149. Read that, everybody. Hold out right there, say it, but let the high praises of God be in your mouth. And a sharp two-edged sword. Does anyone know what the sharp two-edged sword is? The word of God, you have it, but you got to have it in your mouth, not just in your hand, not on the coffee table, but it's got to be in your mouth and in your heart, and you use it. When the devil comes in, use the word of God. It is written. And push the devil back. To execute vengeance. Notice, to what? Execute judgment or vengeance upon the heathen. And punishment upon the people. Who's going to do it? The saints of God, to bind their senators. To bind the governing force. Why does the Psalms 2, why does the heathen rage and the kings and they set themselves and they are gathered against the Lord? But the Lord also has an army. Verse 5 says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Come on, let the saints be joyful in glory. You know why? Because the saint of the Most High shall take and possess the kingdom. So let them be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their bed. Sing aloud upon your bed. You can do it home and you can do that. But it's not only that. But you sing aloud on your beds. That's the church. You sing aloud. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart and into his courts with praise. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Why? Because we're going from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. So be joyful. Make a joyful noise. Ah, come on. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. And let the, you know, people sit over there. I said, they just hold their head down. They got no life. But when they get out of church, oh my goodness, I'm on the telephone. Be joyful. Let the saints of God be joyful. Come into church. Get happy. Don't come sad. Amen. Now, back to Jude. To execute judgment, 15, upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. See why he's coming back? Do you see why he's coming back? All of the words spoken against God, he's going to judge us for that, except we repent. You're not going to get away with it. Nobody gets away with anything. Amen? Okay. Then it goes on to something else. But it's just one beautiful book, Jude, said, one chapter said, these are murmurers, complainers. Nobody can please them. God can't please them. Walking after their own lust. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words against God. That's it. Against his anointed. Against the things of God. Against the church. Having men's person in admiration because of advantage. Okay. Is that all? But beloved. Hello. Beloved. Are you beloved? But beloved, here's the message for you. He's got a message for you. Beloved, don't forget. Keep it in mind. Remember, he the words which were spoken before of the Lord, of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. What were they? How that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. But ye, beloved, hello? But you, beloved. Are you beloved? You ought to respond. But you, beloved. What happened? But you, beloved. What do you do? Who's going to do it? The pastor? Your neighbor? You build up yourselves? So you're responsible to find the truth, the word of God, and stay and build up yourself? You're responsible? I thought your pastor did. But you, beloved, are you beloved? So you're responsible to do something. You're responsible to know the truth, to word of God, to build up yourself on your most holy faith. Hold on. Well, how do I do this? I don't know. Building up myself on my most holy faith. And one thing I love about the Bible is that it doesn't leave you hanging in limbo. It says, come on, man. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. You get it? He said right there. Building up yourself. All you do, praying in the Holy Ghost. So you got to have the Holy Ghost. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you're praying the Holy Ghost. And the devil is going to tell you that's a lot of jibber jibber all the time. He's going to tell you, oh, that's like, he don't sound good. Just go ahead and do it. If the devil doesn't like it, it's good. But you, beloved, my Jesus, you're not even hearing. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy, come on, your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. 21. But look what the pastor have to do now, because you're so weak. The pastor is the shepherd. He's responsible to keep you in the love of God. You're supposed to love God? Keep yourself. But you, beloved, keep yourself in what? In the love of God, looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's it. And of some have compassion. Look, of some having compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear. Pulling them out of what fire? What fire? Second death is a fire. Fire and brimstone. Pulling them out of the lake of fire. Making a difference. Safe through fear. Others pulling them. That's what you got to do. That's what we've been doing tonight. That's what we do tonight. I'm trying to pull you out. Open your ears. Open your eyes. Pull you out. Say, come out. And you just go right back. You're not coming down. You're not making changes. But you, beloved, what do you say? And others saved through fear. What do you? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Doesn't mean you make a afraid. No. It's give them fear of wisdom. They didn't know, but you opened their eyes. And they saved through fear. Pulling them. You know, sometimes they don't want. The angel had to pull Lot and his family out of Sodom. They wouldn't come out. And that's what you got to do spiritually when you hold them by the hand. And you lead, pull them out. That's what we're doing right now. The hand of a ministry. And pulling them out of the fire. That's eternal fire. Second death fire. Vengeance. Pulling them out of the fire. Hating. What? What garments? The garments of the flesh. No. Look at it. Hating even the garment, the spotted garment of the flesh. Or hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know what I mean? Somebody said, oh, if I put on my clothes, I'm going to get some flesh in it. That's not what it means. The garments. He's not talking about this. The garments spotted by the flesh. The garments, it's that old Adamic nature. That old Adamic corrupt nature. You get that? It's that garment. But you need a new garment. The robe. The garment of righteousness. So this garment that you have, you're born, you crucified it. Amen? It's not your clothes. It's the nature. It's spotted by the flesh. The ungodly deeds. That nature that's in rebellion against God. But what are you trying to do? Paul nailing it to the cross, crucifying it, what? That nature. Others saved through fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. See, because over in Zechariah, the angel of the Lord was told to take away from Joshua the high priest and give him the garments because he was spotted. But he just came out of Babylon, he was spotted, and gave him garments. Change of garments. You need a change of garments. That's why Christ died. To give us a new garment. Are you listening now? Okay. That's it? Two more verses quickly. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. That's the kingdom established. Both now and forever, establish the kingdom. And let's go back where I was and close it out. Where was Revelation 19? And let me bring it on. In verse 20. Now, remember we were talking when we went there. And the beast was taken. Okay, the beast was captured, taken, subdued. All right? We learned a lot about the beast and we learned some more about it. The beast was taken. You have to know these things. You know, you go to some church and say, oh, you don't have to know Revelation. Oh, it's too, you don't have to know these things, really. He's lying. Because blessed and holy is he that read it. And here the prophecies of this book, there's a special blessing. And he's telling you, no, you don't have to know it. You have to know the whole Bible. That's simple. You have to know the Bible. You shall know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. If you don't know the Bible, you're going to be free. You shall know the truth. What truth? You don't get it on television. You get it from this good book. The beast was taken. That means they were captured, taken in war. And with him, the false prophet. that wrought miracles before him. So you have the beast and you have the false prophets, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. These two were cast alive into a lake of fire with brimstone. Now, you find Revelation 20. This lake is second death. Revelation 20. It's there. The lake of fire is second death. This is where you don't want to go. I'm serious. Look at me now. You don't want to go here. Because there's only two places. One, the kingdom, or the other one is the lake of fire. Make your pick. But choose right. And this is not something you can ignore or put off. Every man, either you're going to be in the kingdom of God or the lake of fire. Your choice. You're either going to follow Christ or the beast and the false prophet. Well, I'm not going to follow. Well, you have to have a knowledge of the word of God. Because if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. What ditch you think that is? The system. The pit. This is serious, isn't it? And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. What's the sword? Look at it. Which sword proceeded out of his mouth? You see, the sword is the word of God. And remember, you also have a sword. He gave you a sword. Remember the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay? That's what you use to push the devil back. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Let me read on quickly here. The same. It's finished? Okay, well. No, I'm not going to chapter 20. It's too much work. You're not paying me enough. I mean, you know, that's what I type. You're not paying. Chapter 20. Let's go back here. The remnant were slain with the sword. Now, here is where, at this time, Psalms chapter 2 comes in. Psalms chapter 2 comes in. Where the heathen are not going to, the nations, said heathen, rage. Let's read that quickly. And the people imagine. You know when somebody just imagine vain thoughts? And the people imagine a vain thing. What's a vain thing? Let's read on. A vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. See, Revelation 19 goes with Psalms chapter 2. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's the cord binding government rule of Christ. So we don't want that. Just like really in the church. A lot of saints don't want the rule of Christ. You tell them something about the word of God, they get mad. Don't tell me that. Lie to me. But you can't do that. You got to tell the truth. You preach the word of God, some people get upset. Don't preach it, Pastor. Lie to me. Tell me I'm good when I'm bad. Don't tell me I'm bad. Just say, you know, tell me I'm good. And I come to church. But you won't change. In other words, that pastor would be laboring in vain because nobody in that environment would be in the kingdom. Amen? Amen? Amen. Nobody would be in the kingdom. You say, you mean the whole church? Yes, if the whole church believe a lie, nobody would be in the kingdom. There's a multitude that nobody can number that's going to be lost. And it's not only, it's small and great, Revelation 20. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before the throne of God. And the books were opened. What book? The same book that you don't want to read right now. This is the, in other words, God cannot judge you out of a book that he never gave you. It's the one that he's given you, the Bible, that he judged you out of. And if you don't know the Bible, hey, it's like you go take an exam and you never study. And you expect to pass. And you wonder why the teacher didn't give you an A. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in wrath and vex them in a sore displeasure. See, Jesus is not coming back to please anybody. He's coming back to establish a kingdom. Yet, they upset them bad. But yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. That's where you want to be born. Zion. This and that man was born there. Yet have I set my king upon my holy mountains. That's verse 7 says. And I will declare the decree. What's the decree? The Lord had said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. See, there are many begotten. Jesus was begotten as the firstborn from the dead. Now he's going to be begotten right here at the establishment of the kingdom. The new heavens and the new earth. Amen? God has many works. God's a wonderful God. So you can't just read one part of scripture and say, that's all God has to do. Ask of me. Here's what Jesus is going to do. This Jesus is going to do. Ask of me. As soon as he land upon the earth, this is what he's going to do. Ask the Father, and I shall give thee the heathen, or the nations, for thine inheritance. And the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. Now, right, Jesus Christ is not only going to get Jerusalem, Israel, but he's going to get everything. That, here's what he's going to do now. Thou shalt break them with a heart of iron. Remember now, break, he didn't say destroy them. Because that's his inheritance. So he's going to break them. You won't bow, he's going to break you. Oh, God. That's what he's going to do. Somebody say, oh, I'll be in heaven, sweet. Go on, sweetheart. Go on, my dear. You're going to be in heaven, all right. Yeah. You don't know the word of God. You don't know nothing about God. I guess, you know, I don't have to worry. I'll be flying away to heaven. You don't go to school and go to the Bank of America right over there and ask them, tell them you want a job as a teller. They'll say to you, tell what? Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus. What a wonder you are. You're so sweet and lovely. He says that's not so. He's going to dash. Have you ever, don't do it now, but have you ever taken up something and dash it? I can't forget that when Nathaniel was a baby and he likes milk and one bottle was not enough. And when you give him one bottle and he give you about 2 minutes maybe, when he's finished fast and he do like that, when he's doing like that, you know something is coming, and he sit up and he begin to twist it like that. You only have time to grab it, run, fill it, and give it back in his mouth. Otherwise, he take that bottle and dash it against the... He's mad. When Jesus returns, he's going to dash them because he's upset. He's angry. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. No, you know what? That's nice. They put it real nice. But a potter's vessel is a whole clay pot. And when you drop it, oh, this sweet Jesus, eh? That's why you fall on the rock now and be broken. Submit now. Say, oh God, forgive me. Because he's going to get you and he'll either break you with a rod of iron or he'll dash you as a potter's vessel. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, next verse, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So be wise. How? Here, by this. Get the word in you. That's the only way to be wise. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed. Oh, what, you see that? Instructed. Let somebody instruct you and teach you. He's given the ministry for everybody. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. How? By the word of God, somebody. By the word of God. Next verse. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. How do you do that?
Read the word of God.
Kiss, 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 kiss. Jeremiah. Thank you. Kiss, 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 kiss. Isaiah. Oh, by the way, I ask you to know from Genesis to Revelation. You remember? So you kiss from Genesis to Revelation. Or you're going to kiss the Son. He's all of there. We're going to get back on that, didn't we? I almost felt like calling you up here to say that. But anyway, look at this now. When you go home tonight, before you go to bed, kiss the Son. Give him that good night kiss of a few chapters and some prayer, right? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and he perish from the way and his wrath be kindled but a little during the church age. Because this is not the time of wrath. It's a time of salvation. It's kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And is it? What a word. I said, what a word. What a word. I think I will just stop there. No overtime.